Welcome to episode 258 of the Outback Mind podcast. Thanks so much for joining in. Thank you so much for the wonderful feedback for the recent podcast that we've done. Thanks so much for the wonderful feedback from the documentary that we released last year, Healing Men's Minds. We've had that around quite a few communities in regional Queensland, and hoping to spread that even more. It's a great conversation starter. It gets guys thinking, it gets guys engaged and really focusing on, you know, their own journeys and how to improve their own journeys. So it's something we need to share with more people. We've also just made another documentary called Boiling Point, which is going to be released on the 19th of April next month at Gladstone Cinema. Now, we want to try and get this into in front of as many workplaces as we possibly can, because it talks about domestic violence and the impact that domestic violence actually has, but more so for men to be able to learn how to avoid situations and take a positive approach rather than a negative approach if they're triggered. And it's really amazing when we start to learn skills to be able to be a bit more emotionally aware, how we can avoid situations and start to take a better way rather than sort of being reactive. And you know, the whole system is really stretched with guys that are that are offending, and we just don't want to try and go there if we can help it. So we need to be able to help more men learn how to manage themselves proactively rather than reactively. So if you'd like to check out the trailer, it's on the website, the Outback Mind Foundation website. It's called Boiling Point. You'll see that there. And if you'd like to get us into your workplace for DV Awareness Month, please reach out. We'll come and see if we can do a screening. If you'd like to help us out with a donation, we'd be really grateful. And also, we have memberships now. If you'd like to become a member of the Outback Mind Foundation, it's just a small cost per month, which can really help us out and help us spread our work to be able to reach more men throughout regional communities. So today I have a wonderful man by the name of Peter Bond on with me. Peter is has an amazing business on the Gold Coast called YCB Plumbing. Started this a few years ago, and he's built an incredible culture with regards to the way that I suppose he approaches his employees, the way he manages his people, the way he promotes his business, the way he promotes good quality family ethics, and how that filters down into, you know, his own employees, but also the communities around him. So I'm going to really dive deep today with Pete about, his own journey and his mission to be able to, help men be able to be happy, healthy and well, but also, to understand what it's like to create a good, successful business, and get some insight from him around that, what he does to look after himself and everything in between. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy this chat. Please reach out with any feedback to support at outbackmind.org.au, and I really appreciate you listening in. G'day, Pete.
Yes, mate.
Very grateful to have you on here. Is this the first podcast you've ever done?
Second, mate. I did one. I did one on the trade business accountants one last year. So, wouldn't say I'm experienced in it, mate. But mate, looking forward to the chat. And thanks for having us, bud.
Very relaxed and very sincere, genuine conversations we have on here. So we'll be fine, mate. But ever since I sort of got to know you and seen what you do and got to meet you last year, I've really been so impressed with your enthusiasm and your authenticity and the way you go about life, but also the way you go about your family and your business and all that sort of stuff. And I'd just really like to know a bit more about, young Pete, sort of what life was young for you as a young fella, and sort of coming through and getting into your trade and going from there.
Yeah, no dramas, mate. Before I kick off, I just want to say that, what you're doing, mate, for the men's mental health, and I'm probably as looking forward to this podcast as much as you are, looking forward to learning a bit about you. And when you asked me to jump onto it, I thought I'd do a bit of research about you, and I've been looking at your website and listened to a few of your podcasts, and, mate, you're a legend of the game. So just really looking forward to it, mate. Loved a lot of your AFL podcasts and everything you did and all the sports stars. So learn a bit about you, mate. Looking forward to this chat. So let's go.
Appreciate it, mate. I know you love your footy, but I'd really like to know where you were brought up as a young fella and sort of where it all sort of started for you.
Yep. So I was brought up in a town called Mitcham, eastern suburbs in Victoria. Mm-hmm. probably about half an hour out of the city. I do like to call myself a country boy, but the sad truth is I'm not a country boy, so it's probably about half an hour out of the city, mate. normal upbringing, mate. Had awesome parents. They provided a heap for me. And just your normal kid, mate. Loved a lot of sports. Played everything, you know, cricket, basketball, skating for a bit. But AFL, their local footy was my passionate growing up, mate. So I played a heap of that. And, what else? just played a lot of local sports, mate. Grew up... sorry, bud.
You're right.
Lost there.
You're right. Yeah. tell me, I was just going to say, like, were you any good as a young fella playing, and who were some of the positive role models you had as a young bloke?
I could always get myself out of trouble, but I was never going to play AFL or anything like that. But yeah, throughout growing up, so played for Blackburn, a lot of my junior footy and under 18s there. Grew onto the King Lake for my senior footy down there, and done a lot of travelling around Australia, mate, up to Airlie Beach, Kununurra, Gladstone. So played a lot of country footy through there. done everything that a local country football would want to. Won best and fairest, captain premierships, you know, all that copper good stuff. So, like I said, mate, I was never going to play AFL, but yeah, had one hell of a journey playing along. It was just a huge passion, mate. Lived and breathed it. It was also so much of the sport itself, but just the team culture, just the functions, the brotherhood, just get around the clubs. I'll give you a couple of examples growing up of how much I did love it. I think it was under 12s once. It was on a Sunday, Mother's Day. The old lady was driving me down to, I think we were playing down at Chirnside Park, and she got a flat tyre, pulled over at the servo, and instead of doing the manly thing and helping her change the tyre, I boosted it and just ran to the local footy ground to play the game, mate.
just took off, mate.
And yeah, another one. I remember we were playing just under 18s. I just had my license, just got my car, and we're just around the corner. I was in the wet on the way to a footy. We're playing against the Basin. Gave it a little bit of gave the old XB a little bit too much. Slid out, wrapped it around a tree, rang the old man, said, yeah, you had one of the boys in with me. It wasn't too bad, but, yeah, it was a write-off. It rang the old man and said, the car's wrapped around a tree. I'm running across the oval to play the game. Ran out there for the first bounce, played the game, and, yeah, I remember walking off at halftime. I could see my old man there with the tow truck and sorting it all out for me. So That's the passion I had for me footy growing up, mate. Loved it.
Commitment. Unbelievable. No, it's bringing back a lot of memories. I wasn't very good either, but I actually loved it, and I loved being around blokes, and I loved being around the environment. You know, it did involve a lot of alcohol, but...
It was
pretty enjoyable when I think about it. We're actually pretty lucky to get away with it as we did, because there was a lot of risky behaviours going on back then.
Yeah, I could imagine, mate. Where were you? You were mainly in Tassie, were you? Playing your footy?
Horsham, country Victoria.
Horsham, yep.
Yep. Shepparton for a while and then over to Tassie. But, I started playing again when I was 41 and I was really fit, and I felt, bulletproof, because I'd basically done a lot of work. I just sort of stopped playing not long after that. But I do miss it. You know, it's changed a hell of a lot, the way we sort of, you know, approach it. It was pretty raw back in the day, but now it's a different sort of game altogether. But I just think you know, having that life experience of going through sport and then sort of having, you know, the ability to be able to have good solid parents has helped you, you know, to be grounded, and you know, certainly built you into the man you are today. I'd like to know about the trade though. Like, how old were you when you got into the trade, and sort of where'd that all start for you?
So I was just going through, just going through normals. Went to a Catholic college at Whitefriars, wasn't the most academical kid, and decided to do a bit of a trades course. So we did this thing called Box Hill Senior. Do a bit of everything, a bit of automotive, a bit of sparky, a bit of plumbing. I think there's a bit of chippy work, just a nice broad, sort of introduction into the industry, into the trade, and you sort of pick which one you like the most. And once I did the bit of the plumbing, really loved that. And then we sort of dived into the pre-apprenticeship, got to work with a few different plumbers, a few different maintenance plumbers. And I was lucky enough to jag the apprenticeship through the Master Plumbers Association, mm-hmm. which is a big firm in Melbourne. And it's a pretty cool setup. So the way it works is they put you with like different types of plumbers, so you're meant to see all different aspects. So you might get put with a roofer for a certain period of time, and then a drainer, and then a gas fitter type of thing. That's how it was meant to work, but I was pretty lucky. You got teamed up with this company called Geschke Plumbing. They're quite big back then, but they're probably one of the biggest in Melbourne at the moment. Huge. I think they've got a couple hundred plumbers at the moment. So big. They did a lot of the hospitals, a lot of the EBA, the big union sites and that. And that's probably where my whole life really turned around, mate. It was this huge eye opener. I got teamed up with just awesome guys. So this is a good lesson of this story, is just how critical, how important it is, you know, when you get teamed up with the right crew. So got put in with some great guys. There's a guy in there called Danny Hill. Doggy, he's one of my best mates now. And I was pretty much under him, mate. I just had the best 4 years of my life, mate. I'll never forget it. Just young, dangerous, working with good blokes, and just loved it, mate. He taught me so much about drainage, so much about life. He actually got me involved in his footy club. He's a passionate and born and bred King Lake boy. So that's where my love and passion for country footy and that come from. So next thing, me and Doggy were laying pipes together, sort of training together, just doing stupid stuff together, working together. It was a good time, mate. And he was a huge influence on me. Just learning, like, you just go out of his way. I can picture some of the times, and you know, when you're young, you're too scared to ask questions and all that. And he could just read me, be like, no, you know, if you don't understand, sit down. He'd draw it all out for me. Just put a heap of time into me, mate. And so end up pretty much doing my whole apprenticeship through them. Learn a heap, and then once I had my trade, did a bit of a work and holiday around Australia. It was meant to be me and one of the other boys, one of my other mates, pretty much finished our apprenticeships together. We were going to do a big lap around Oz, but he hooked up with a girl, hooked up with the missus, and he left me just before we were about to go, pretty much. He said, nah, I've hooked up with this chick. So, but everything happens for a reason. I just started seeing my missus, Sez, who I'm with now. And I hit her up, said, what do you reckon? You know, we're only new together, probably been together a year or two. And I said, look, I'm pretty keen to go around Oz. What do you reckon? And she jumped on board, mate. And that's where the journey went. That's where the journey started.
Unbelievable. So she's a Melbourne girl.
Yeah, she was a Melbourne girl, mate. Yeah. This is another pretty good story. So she was pretty much a Barbie doll when I first met her. Absolutely drop dead gorgeous. Worked at a solarium. Blonde hair, you've never seen anything like her, just one of the most beautiful women you've ever seen. And the boys had doubts about her, like we were camping around Australia, and I think we had a few boys had a few bets on her. I think the closest odds to her, she was going to turn around Albury Wodonga, about 3 hours away. So it was, but to her credit, mate, she stuck it out. She's amazing, and mate, I'll tell you a bit about the trip. So we left from Melbourne, we sort of targeted the East Coast. The plan was just to do a lap, and sort of where we liked the most, what the best town was, we were going to post up there. And it took us about 10 years, like including all the mining towns we worked at. You know, we stopped at Airlie Beach for about 3 or 4 years. That was a big part of my life, playing footy up there. We went up north. We did the Cape. We went over the East Kimberleys. We had a season up there for the Ord River Magpies. It was just an amazing journey, mate. And to do it with Sez, like, it was either going to make or break the relationship, you know what I mean? You're doing everything together. You're sleeping together. You're eating together. You're just there. You're with each other the whole time. And it really made our relationship, mate. And, it was a trip I'll never forget.
Just on that, because it'll interest a lot of the people listening too, were there any times that you did sort of, had a few little difficulties along the way with the relationship, or did it flow through pretty well? No arguing or none of that?
All right. I reckon there was one in particular. It flowed through beautifully, but I'll never forget. I reckon we nearly called it quits. We're up at the top end of the tip up there, up towards the Cape. And I remember there was this town, little place called Chilli Beach. I'm not sure if you've been there, but one of the boys goes, make sure you stop at Chilli Beach. I can't remember how much of a turn-off it was. It might have been like 15 km or 20 km off the road. And I remember seeing the sign, 20 km. I'm like, beautiful, take that. And it was just intense four-wheel driver, mate. Like, the old GQ patrol, no aircon. Just hot as, footy shorts, no shirt, just sweating it out, eating salami sangers and VB cans for fucking God knows how long. And I remember just there, the look on her face, we're just, yeah, she wasn't happy. It took us about 4 hours to do 15K, just intense. Jeez, and I'll never forget it. But when we got there, mate, it was like we had this whole chilly beach. It was like the movie Off the Beach, Leonardo DiCaprio. We had this amazing beach to ourselves, and it was all worth it. But that was a testing time for us. But mate, she just, what we did, like living in a lot of these Aboriginal communities, the Kununurra, like we worked up there for East Kimberley Plumbing, living in five dongas with all these other plumbers, like what type of woman puts up with that, you know what I mean? Like, full credit to her, mate. But yeah, a few testing times, but yeah, 95% of it, mate, was high fives, good times, and yeah, I wouldn't change anything for the world, mate.
Amazing. I've been through there, I know what it's like, and certainly gets the sweat up going through those communities, that's for sure, because it's bloody hot and very
rough, oh, yeah,
very confronting as well. That's it, mate. No, amazing. So I really want to know a bit more about when you got settled, like when you got to the Goldie and when you sort of realised that was it for you.
Yeah, all right. So we did. So I started pulling my head in when I was about 30, I reckon. Decided to, after we sort of semi-finished the trip, and we're like, all right, let's go. Did about four and a half years in the oil and gas industry. Mm-hmm. So we did a bit up in Karratha and then went to Gladstone and the GLNG plant. So you probably know a bit about that.
Sure do.
So, sacrificed a lot of my life, mate. We're on night shift for nearly 4 years straight, 11-hour shifts, six days a week. But we had a goal, mate, you know what I mean? A goal was to save bulk coins, save as much money as we can, and to buy our dream house on the Gold Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that, mate. And so we did that, and yeah, we moved to the Gold Coast, and pretty much just all fell into place, mate. Got married, had kids, started the business, and the whole life just because, you know, we ran a fair old muckles, yeah, till from 18 to 35 type of thing, and moved to the coast in 2015. And so I started. I had no intentions to actually go out on my own. I was happy just, you know, I was very. I wouldn't say burnt out, but the mentality of that night shift in Gladstone, like, it wasn't physically hard, but yeah, it was a test of mind, mate, you know what I mean? I was worried I might have lost my good work ethic. I've always had a pretty hard work ethic, but I still had it. So I come to the coast, worked for a few odd plumbers, and just didn't enjoy it, mate. There's a lot of just politics, like, you're working big companies, you know, 30 blokes, and everyone's like, oh, you know, Bondi's only done this, or just a lot of sort of bitching behind the scenes, and yeah, it wasn't really my scene, mate. And
yeah,
anyway, end up getting let go from there, and opportunity come up, and started working for another bloke and started doing a lot of these sort of civil connections and that on the side, and I could sort of see the margins in them and see what was involved, and pretty much just went out on my own and put on a mate, and mate, that's how YTB started. Yeah,
So you took a risk, which is pretty rare, and you got to be brave enough to bloody do that, because a lot of blokes have got ideas, but they don't follow through with it. Was it really difficult for you, like sitting on the fence with
It was, mate. Every decision I've made, everyone's like, oh, you should be so proud. But every decision I've made, it's tough, mate. Every bloke you put on, do I need this? Every truck we buy, fucking, we're going to be able to justify this. Every excavator. But, mate, I've never looked. Every decision I've made so far has been correct in putting people on and putting on machines. But I remember him, like, Cody was our first employee. So I was doing everything by myself at the start. Me and Says, you know, doing all a lot of paperwork involved in our jobs. You know, it's a lot of, like, working on the council's infrastructure, so heaps of permits and all that. So I was doing it all, and Says was helping out, doing all the admin side of things. And I knew I needed help, but I just couldn't, to take that first little leap, you know what I mean? And Cody actually come down from Gladstone, and I was like, yeah, can we justify it? But, yeah, like I said, mate, put him on, and, mate, we've just never looked back, mate. It's been an amazing journey, 7 years now, and I've just got some of the photos in front of me now I'm looking at, mate. It's been awesome, mate. I'm in awe. I just absolutely love what I do. I listened to one of your podcasts. It was something about sustainability you're talking about, like companies, I think YTB is just a definition of that, mate. I just absolutely love. I'll bounce out of bed at 3:30 every day, the biggest smile on my face, and just ready to take on the world, mate. I just love what I do, love the crew that I've got, love my family, and just, mate, absolutely loving life at the moment. Yeah. So it's a beautiful time to be alive.
That in its essence is good mental health, eh?
It is, mate. Yeah, it is.
That's what it is. You're thriving. You've got a goal. You've got a purpose. You've got connection. You've got good people around you. A lot of people don't have that, but it can be done. Like, you know, you've been through some serious challenges, but you are actually able to maintain a positive attitude through it all. And, you know, mate, I think what happens is a lot of guys reflect on their past and some of the shit that's actually happened and they stay stuck there. But if we can start to realise, well, we've got a new opportunity every day to create something, then we can all of a sudden, you know, look at not looking in the rear vision mirror and start to look forward with you know, real purpose and real, you know, courage and connection. And that's how we actually stay maintained physically and mentally for the rest of our lives, because we're proactive rather than being reactive. And, you know, I think, yeah, it's wonderful to see what you've done and where you've got to, because you've had that determination really from day one.
Mate, that's extremely well said, mate. Yeah, I'm a big fan of looking forward for the future, mate. You know what I mean? Like, even if we have our big wins, we do something huge, yeah, you celebrate the win for a day or something, but, mate, you get up the next day and it's back to business, mate. You know what I mean? You got the show goes on, life goes on. So,
yeah,
I'm a big, big, big fan of, not looking in the past, mate, for sure.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because sometimes when something good happens, we want to try and milk it for as long as we can. But we've got to be able to, like, yeah, enjoy it for a period and then sort of keep moving forward. Otherwise, we can get stuck, and that's when the negative mind starts kicking in. It takes us backwards, and that's when all the bloody, you know, the past stuff starts kicking in, and the self-worth goes down, and then you get into self-sabotage and all that shit, and that basically was what causes poor mental health at the end of the day.
Definitely, mate, definitely.
Yeah, but I know you talk about change mindset, and that's really something that you value, because you did sort of, you know, change your own mindset there at one period of time, probably into confidence, and I reckon it's pretty pivotal around that period when you decided to start your own business, because that took a lot of courage as well.
It did, mate, yeah. I feel as though like you said, mate, the confidence, you know, probably not being cocky, but you need to – I think you need to stay confident, mate, you know what I mean, and everything you do. So, yeah, confidence has been a huge thing of mine. Mindset in the last couple of years, I've probably just taken it to a next level, mate. I pretty much just want to get the absolute best, you know, best out of myself, out of my body, out of my mind every day. Mm. I just want to be the healthiest, most dominant version I can be, mate, you know what I mean? And any advantage I can get, like I'm diving in, I've got the morning routine down pat at the moment, I've got a 3-minute ice bath, 20-minute sauna with a red light, 30-minute mobility, and an hour either on the gym or the cardio. So that's my routine every morning. Get all that done before 6 o'clock. You know, they love that 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's my time. No one can ever take that away from me. It's my favorite time of the day, mate.
Spot on.
Just get so much done. Phone never rings. No one can dictate anything. So so that's a big part of the mindset, mate. It's just pretty much like, well, our number one core value is play to win, mate, and that's pretty much where my mindset's at, just with everything, mate. You know, really into work, I just do not want to lose, you know, all those connections we do. I treat them all like footy games, mate. Every big connection we do, I either put down to a W or an L. But the L doesn't stand for loss, the L stands for learn. So we either win or if something goes wrong, I'll just tell the boys, it's not a loss, it's a learn. Yeah. I feel as though you only lose if you are when you quit, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So I'm a big fan. I'll try and play to win. I'll do everything we can to win. If something goes wrong, yeah, we'll, you know, let's break it down and sort of see what went wrong, and then we'll fix that. We'll fix that on the next time type of thing. So,
amazing.
I just, like I said, you just got to be confident. You need to believe you're the best. You know, how can you be the best if you don't believe you're the best? You know, that may sound cocky, but That's just how I feel, mate, you know what I mean?
Yep, there's nothing wrong with that. And see, we've been taught to think the other way, you know. We've been taught to be able to be reactive and negative, but we need to actually realise how much potential we've got within ourselves. And what you mentioned there about the 4 to 6 a.m., they're the ambrosial hours. And if you can get up there and work on yourself and put, you know, time into yourself and get connected, that's when your life starts to transform. And that's ancient knowledge, which has gone way back. We've just sort of tweaked it by using some of the methods that we're using now. And, you know, hydrotherapy with the ice is great. The heat is also awesome, but also physical movement is critically important for a bloke to be able to get the body moving and working, and that clears the mind up, and you're setting yourself up for success at the end of the day, you know, and that's available to all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're physically incapable. There's other things you can do to get yourself to a level of self-mastery, and that's the opportunity we have, like making sure you're going to bed at a reasonable hour so you're getting up fresh, making sure
100%.
You're eating the right food so you're not sort of smashed about too much. But we've been taught to be dependent, and I think we can be more independent by doing these things which are in our control, and that's something that we can all do, I think. Yeah, so it's wonderful to hear you say that, mate.
Yeah. Now, like I said, mate, I'll try and squeeze in as much as I can for those 2 hours. I'll tell you a twist that my mind is, you'll probably know about this, actually. I've just been diving into a bit of study about the binaural beats. Have you heard much about them?
Yep, absolutely.
Mate. So how that started, I've got a newborn son. He was born 10 weeks preemie, so always issues or potential sort of brain development issues. So we're just trying to give him as much help as we can. I dived into that. And by playing all these different frequencies, I think delta waves was the best type of ones for baby brain development. You know, stimulates them, makes them feel like they're in the womb, creates stability, gives them longer sleep cycles. And I reckon it's really worked. So I started diving into it. I'm thinking, if that can work for him, what can it do for me? So I've been reading about it, and I've been listening to these alpha waves, mate. It's meant to make you more focused, puts into that unconscious mind. So you've got one frequency in one ear. So I'm in the gym at bloody 4 a.m. by myself, listening to bloody alpha frequency waves, belt in my ear, and mate, it's done wonders. It makes you that switched on and focused. I needed an hour or two, hour of power on my computer the other day. I turned everything off. I had the alpha frequencies cranking on my earphones, and mate, I was in the zone, absolute zone. So that's just another little advantage you can get. The grounding, mate. I've got the old grounding mat in my bed these days. That's another little advantage you can get. So all these little things, mate, they all just keep doing them every day. It's just going to compound, and it's just going to make you a better person, mate. You know, mate.
When you start feeling good, you get more curious. And,
That
little fella's come into your life, you know, for a reason, because he'll be able to teach you so much, already, you know, with what you've been able to learn and experience from that. But see, what it is and you know, like when we're in fluidity, we actually work better physically and mentally, and getting tapped into, pardon me, the binaural beats helps the brainwaves settle down. We're not sort of, you know, just, you know, amplified so much. It's just like changing the dial on the old radios, you know. And then we get into this nice, beautiful frequency, which is our calm, natural state of being. And that's available to all of us if we actually, like, you know, put the work in. Otherwise, the mind can take us to turmoil really easily. So I'm trying to help workforces or workplaces, you know, get into that. So pre and post shift, so they can actually feel calm before and after, because that just reduces risk. But also at the end of the day, they actually go home feeling good as well.
Yeah, mate, no, they blow my mind. Like, it's only new. I've only just been getting into them. But, mate, there's study on them. There's facts. It's pretty wild, mate, for anyone that's listening. Definitely dive into those binaural beats for sure.
Really grateful to hear you say that. And you'll be into the gongs and that before too long. I've got 2 gongs here I'm looking at the moment. And they will...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Get yourself a gong. You'll never look back. That'll help the baby and the kids.
But just wanted to touch base on just what you're saying about the mindset, and so it's all well and good to have it for one thing, which I had it for a long time for YTB, but I probably let other things, probably let it sort of seek away a little bit. So by that I mean family, you know, probably put them second for a little bit to help the company grow back in the day. But now, mindset, since my son's born, 100% on point. Family is just, my number one goal, mate. So I've never, ever been so just enthused and wanting to succeed. And, you know, it's all well and good to be a good leader or a good boss or whatever, but, mate, you can't be neglecting that family. So at the moment, my goals are just to be the best, to be the best person I can. But, the family is my number one goal, mate, at the moment.
And do you reckon you got the same family mindset with your workforce?
I do. Yeah, I do, mate. I treat all those boys like family. We've got a phenomenal, anyone that follows us and that, they'll see the team culture and that we got. it's just, yeah, it's pretty much like a little family, mate. You know what I mean? Well, I pretty much treat it, like, this may sound weird or funny, but I've pretty much treated this YTB as a football club. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, the games, all the connections of the games, you need to train. So we put the boys through training, you know. Any club I've ever played at and been successful, we've all been tight, you know. You do everything together. Mm. You do functions together. You get the wives involved a couple times a year. Yeah, I mean, and that's the type of stuff I'm doing, and it's working, mate. Like, you see the synergy we've got on site. All the boys, we're high-fiving, we know where everything is. We're on, we know each other's habits, like, we're mates. Mm. We're not just, you know, we're not just blokes turning up to work and going through the motions. Like, we are genuinely good mates, and, mate, you know, I'd go to war for any one of those boys, and I guarantee you they'd go to war for me, mate. It's just the mentality we got, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's incredible. That's the work culture that we all need, mate, because I'm telling you now, most of them are pretty fucked. A lot of blokes are dreading to go to work. They're feeling disconnected because, you know, no one gives a shit about them. And really, at the end of the day, as humans, we need that bloody connection. We need that support. We need that camaraderie and the ability to help people feel valued. You know, I think that's really important, and it's not happening much anymore.
Nah, definitely not. I'll probably get caught up in that grind so much because we just, and I've done it and I'm just so used to it and this is what we've got. But I get regular messages on LinkedIn just from random people I don't even know, just, you know, saying similar things what you are, just, you know, your culture's phenomenal, how do I do it, or how did you get there, type of thing. So when you get all those type of messages, you know, they're becoming more often than not. I'm getting one every couple of weeks at the moment, so it does make you feel, just probably grateful, mate, you know what I mean? Because I don't see it, because it's just what I do and it's just what we've done and it's just part of YTV. But to hear yourself and other people say it, you know, a lot, it's pretty cool, mate, yeah.
Yeah, no, it is. You just got to keep doing what you're doing fearlessly. I think that's really key. With regards to, you know, you're pretty passionate about sort of giving back too. I notice you've been like trying to help out a few mobs around town just to give them a bit of support. Where's that all sort of come from for you?
So that was, like I said, I've always sort of wanted to give back, but I remember, it's a pretty good story. So I remember I was having some lunch and some beers with one of my older mates on my back deck a while back, probably 18 months ago, and he's just telling me, he's just come from the shops, and he's seen a homeless guy sitting out the front, and just went and bought him four bags, like just woolly bags full of steaks and everything, and I'm just like, what? That's awesome, mate. What made you do that? And I remember this is the quote, and he goes to me, Bondi, if you can give a little, then give a little. Yeah. And it's like a bloody steam train hit me. I'm like, that's one of the best things I've ever heard. Mm. Basically saying, if you're in a position to give, fucking give, go and give. And my mind just started ticking. And, mate, that's pretty much how it all started, mate. And then 2023 was last year. And that was my biggest, the start of the year. And that was the goals, mate, to try and give back to the community as much as we could. I think we had about six or seven big community events. We went to the Currumbin Special School. We put a big day on down there for them, took all the trucks down, played with the kids, sporting events. We've done a couple of big barbecues down on Burley, giving away T-shirts, getting around the community. The team, all that type of stuff. And it was just obviously the Keels Cup. We had a big, you know, mate, it's just a good, yeah, it's good. Good atmosphere, good for the company, and it just makes you feel good, mate. And I really enjoyed last year, and it was just a beautiful thing, mate. So that was biggest goals from last year, and it's just really pretty much fired me up to keep going, mate. And I think one of the calls is where focus goes, energy flows, and all my focus went towards that last year, and the energy that it created. Like, you're at the Keels Cup, mate. It was just phenomenal. Everyone's up and about. Like, it just makes you want to do more, mate. So. We just come back from Coomera Special School last Friday, and what it cost you, or what it's worth in the end, Ad, to give the boys half a day off. It refreshes their minds, it gets them back in the game, they're not hanging off a shovel, and, you know, half a day, what it's going to cost you, $3,000 or $4,000, $5,000, whatever, who cares, you know what I mean? It's just what it does for the community, what it does for the boys. It's just... Yeah, it pays for itself, mate, you know what I mean?
Special. See, what you're doing is you're thinking with your heart, not thinking with your mind. And, you know, what that guy did, I've done it, you know, on numerous occasions, being able to go and see a bloke that's down on his ass and being able to give him something which puts a smile on their face. And that's priceless, you know, it really, really is. And, you know, so yeah, those sorts of acts, the ability to be able to help a guy like move out of the heavy stuff into feeling good about themselves again, and just, you know, trying to help them maintain that is really valuable. You know, doing what you're doing with helping other people, I think is wonderful, and that's got to continue because that's humanology in its essence. If we can, you know, do those sorts of things to collaborate rather than compare, is you know, really helping us move to a higher vibration, if that makes sense, you know. So that's exactly what the binaural beats are doing to you. They're helping you move to a higher vibration. Well, we can do that by doing acts, random acts of kindness, which actually make us feel the same way, you know, and that doesn't cost really anything other than, you know, what you might invest, but that return investment is just incredible.
Ah, mate, the feeling we got, the driving out of that special school last Friday, it was just, yeah, you can't put a price on that, mate. It was awesome seeing all those kids smiling and that, so it's now, good times.
Now, for people listening, Bondi lost one of his best mates to suicide a year or two ago. And, you know, a lot of us are listening to this, but myself and that have experienced that, you know, before. And usually when I do an event, I talk about my situation where, you know, I lost a good mate. I was the last person to see him. I was only 20 or 21 and that sort of, you know, took me to where I am now because I'm passionate about trying to help others not sort of get to that situation. But, you know, it's very, very common, unfortunately, because we sort of lose a bit of hope and that sort of takes our mindset to a negative place. But can you tell us a bit about Keels, Bondi, and sort of, you know, your relationship with him and sort of what ended up happening there?
Yeah, mate, yeah. all right, so, yeah, obviously one of my great mates. Met him around the 2011 era up in Karratha when I was doing our trip around Oz and getting in the gas mines up there. And I was playing for the Karratha Cats, and one of the boys teed me up to live in one of the footy houses up there. And I remember I didn't know anyone. I was working in Port Hedland, jumped on a bus. Once I got the go-ahead, jumped on a bus, arrived to Karratha, got the address, didn't know anyone, got thrown into this footy house. And, yeah, Kielsey was one of the boys there, walked into the house, and he came up, shook my hand, and, mate, we just become great mates. Instantly did everything together. We trained together, played footy together. Ran a muck together and just did what boys do, mate. You know, we're both a lot younger then. And he was me. He was literally just like me. He was one of the boys, extremely talented, like such a good footballer, kite surfer. All the girls loved him. All the boys loved him. He's just the most lovable, likable. Give me a second here.
Hey, you're all right.
one of the best guys you're ever going to meet, become great mates with him, and that, yeah, it was that 12 months that just really brought us closer together. So we did everything, sort of moved away. I was always an East Coast boy, so I was never going to live there. I was just over there, and he was as most of those West Australians are, they're pretty stubborn, they love their side of Australia, so he was never going to move over here. So he did his thing, I did my thing. We kept regular contact, you know, catching up. He'd be flying over here, going to festivals with me, and brought him down to Melbourne, met my family and all that type of stuff. So extremely close. And, he was just suffering. He started suffering mental health very badly, over in WA. I had no idea how bad it was, which eats me up on the inside. But I should have been more aware, which I will be next time. But, he was just getting worse and worse. It was hard to gauge. You could definitely tell something wasn't right. But he'd always call me. He'd end up I think it was Greyburns or one of the mental hospitals over there. And I'm not sure if he only had one phone call, but he called me every time when he's in there, you know. So 7 o'clock at night, it's a random phone call from Greyburns Hospital. You know, I didn't know how to handle the conversation, Aaron. I wish I knew you back then. Like, he was just talking – what he was talking about made no sense. And, you know, and I was just agreeing with him, mate. I should have been a man and said, fuck, what are you talking about, mate? Get your head straight. It's not making sense. But, you know, I just agreed with him. So that went on and on. And it's a lot more to the story. I won't go into too much depth. But, I had a missed call from him about 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks out. And I didn't answer it. I'd a bit on, and this chews me up, mate. I never got back to him. And then 2 weeks, 2 weeks later, one of the boys rang me and said that he's taken his own life. And he had a four year old son left behind. It was just a Tragic story, mate. So that's that was my little story with Kilsey, mate.
I often wonder, like, when I hear stories like this, that was there something way back that was never talked about, or there was no signs to you that there was something in his past that was hanging around, or?
There was definitely signs, mate. I was just too immature, mate, not aware enough, like, and not being, especially being in another state, you know, just, I mean, all the signs were there. Now that I know the signs, fuck, mate, you know what I mean? Like, I wish I could have just rang him and said, mate, you know, if he rang me and said, that's what I said at the Keels Cup, I wish these people would just speak. If he actually rang me and said, Bondi, I'm in trouble, I would have fucking gone over there, flown him here, brought him back to my joint, given him a job, let him stay at my joint, get his, you know, but he, I can't blame him for not reaching out, but yeah, I wish anyone that's listening that may be doing it, you just got to let people know, because how can we help? Like, if we don't know the issue, you know what I mean? We can never help. And this is, you know, that's something that's going to eat me up for the rest of my life, mate, you know what I mean? I could answer that phone call, and maybe he was reaching out, you know what I mean? But anyway, that was, but.
Do you know what though, Bondi? Like, I've processed this time and time again, and it comes up, you know, still now, but look, there's probably not much I could have done at that time, but I was only 20, 21 too, mind you, and that's no excuse, but I put my hand on his shoulder and said, you'll be right, mate, and he drove off towards Adelaide and pulled a gun out, and that was it. So I had a feeling in my guts that night that I went to bed. You know, I'll be honest, we were smoking cones before this, you know, young blokes. And he dropped me off pretty late, and he made a comment, and I put my head on his shoulder and said, you'll be right, mate. And I went inside, as I said, I had this ill feeling. Next morning I got up, went to the police and said, I'm worried about my mate. And they said, yeah, we found him, and that was it. So, but my instinct knew that there was something happened, you know. So I wouldn't say I live with that you know, that heaviness, that regret. Maybe I could have done something then, I don't know. But what I would say to him now is, I love you. I really want you around me. You know, you're so important to me. I really appreciate you. You know, you mean the world to me at the end of the day, and that helps a person, you know, feel loved and feel valued, because at that time they're not feeling that at all. They're in this low vibration, if that makes sense, you know. And they just need someone to be able to guide them through, to help them understand that they are needed and they're supported and they're appreciated and loved and those sorts of things. And the more that we can do, the more we can help, you know, people move away from those really heavy negative mindsets, you know. It's such a tricky thing. But, you know, in modern life like you, the situation you're in, is you just keep moving on, you keep moving on. But sometimes we get a red flag, and we've got to be able to stop, and we've got to be able to, you know, really address that for the right reasons, you know, because our minds will continually keep, you know, looking forward. But sometimes when these things happen, we've just got to hit the brakes and say, right, we need to do what we can to be able to sort this out, you know. And then once we get someone, you know, away from that, you know, situation, it's about trying to provide preventative maintenance for them. And that's why the men's circles we do are really good and important, because it's something that they can go to consistently to talk about stuff, because guys are very good at, you know, keeping stuff in the back pocket and suppressing it. But I can tell you now, once you start getting it out and you start to feel appreciated and understood, and other blokes actually hear their story in you, it's amazing how much better you become when you start to, you know, move away from feeling really low. And a lot of us had shit going on in our childhoods, you know, and a lot of it has been intergenerational too. Like, Kiel's old man might have struggled with stuff, you know, and that could have went back to granddad and so forth. But I guess we've got the opportunity to break cycles, you know. Like, that's the thing. If we can actually start to realise that we can break a cycle now, then that shit doesn't have to keep rolling downhill. And, you know, we do go back into negative feelings and that from time to time, but then now we've got the tools to be able to move out of it. I think that's really important, you know, because they weren't taught to us. We were sort of taught to support the economy, you know. We weren't taught to be emotionally aware, you know. And listening to you talk about, you know, getting your consciousness to a higher level, just by doing some of the things which support your well-being, that's that's helped you, but imagine if that can help, you know, more people moving forward, because they can start to, you know, figure themselves out a little bit more. And I think a lot of blokes in general have got, there's a lot of healing to be done. There's a lot of trauma that's, you know, that's been sort of placed on us, and it sort of doesn't shift. It stays stuck, and we suppress that a lot. We've got to learn to express and get that out more. I think that's really what we've got to start to do moving forward if we want to really start to get serious about creating better mental health outcomes, because we can raise all the awareness under the sun, but unless we start to do education and start to do some work, that's where we're going to really, you know, have an impact and move forward. Would you agree?
Mate, very well said. Yeah, one of the things that stood out for me then was, like you said, that blokes don't really like talking, but I've done a couple of pretty hectic training courses and that lately where we had to, you know, sort of open up. And, mate, you feel instantly better. Mm. Like, the second you say it, second you get something off your chest, you think it's not chewing you up, but you just feel, yeah, it's like an instant relief. You're like, oh, fuck, thank God, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I couldn't agree with you more, mate. You're very well said, Aaron, very well said.
That's where, like, you know, getting these guys together, like, we all feel lighter every time we leave, you know. Like tonight I'm going, I've got one in Tanham Sands tonight, but, you know, I'll take a stick there. This is a sacred stick that a bloke can hold on to, and he can just fucking talk about whatever it is that's happening for him, you know. And that is so, so valuable. Like, some of the stories that I hear, and some of the guys that are really on their ass to be able to help give them some positivity and move on. So I'll give you an example of one situation, right? Met a guy last week, just got out of jail, you know, 3 months, very successful fella, you know, he's an engineer, did something wrong, got punished for it. He didn't actually do it. He got sort of, you know, wrongly accused, but he was punished for that, and it wasn't a positive outcome for him. But he went in, did his time, come out. He's lost, you know, and feeling his self-worth, you know, at an all-time low. So, you know, I contacted a guy that I know that's got a labour hire business, and he's got his resume, and he's going to place him in a job. So once that you know, starts to happen for him, then he starts to get a bit of confidence back and he moves forward. But unless he had that conversation, he would be too, you know, he'd be still sitting still, if that makes sense. So it's amazing once, you know, you start to open up and talk rather than keep it, you know, under wraps or suppressed, how things open up for you. And that's the thing. It's just been really, really difficult for fellas to be able to, like, express that. And it's not our fault, mate. Like, we've had a couple of world wars in the last 100 years. I mean, there's been a lot of shit, you know, over that journey. And you think about our lives and how much, you know, it's changed and how much stimulation's come in. Unless we're on top of it, we're doing things like you're doing early in the morning, then we start to get the wobbly boots on a little bit. So the more we can do to empower blokes, I think, is critical rather than, you know, disempower them. You know, I think that's really key, you know. Keep raising the bar, keep levelling up and doing things to support one another, because sometimes it's difficult. You can't talk to your wife about stuff or your mates or your family. My family in general were very critical of me, so I always felt, you know, cautious to talk about stuff. But, yeah, for me personally, the first time I went to one of these, like your experience, was just, you know, a feeling of really good, because you actually felt valued. And all a guy wants is to be listened to, appreciated and understood at the end of the day. Mm. If someone could have understood Keels, then, you know, who knows what would have happened. But, you know, I just think we can get better at this sort of stuff.
Yeah, agreed, mate. Yeah, 100% agreed.
Yeah.
Have you had much to do with the big emotional, spiritual release, like through holotropic breath work and all that type of stuff? Or
heaps, mate. Yeah, yeah.
Mate. I had the most wild experience doing that recently. Holy.
You said that. Yeah, no, I sort of, like, for me, all the shit started to move away when I got into fitness and I started to compete, and, you know, I got really good at that. But then I started to be curious about how to feel good without putting my body through hell, and then I got into, you know, spiritual practices and yoga and that sort of thing. And really, the big thing that gets shut down, if you look at, you know, we'll get a bit woo-woo here or weird, but it's very, very normal and very important. You look at the chakras in the body, and the throat chakra is one of the most important ones. If you can learn to get shit out, then all of a sudden you feel better, and the breath is, you know, a great way to do that. So, you know, doing... you know, parasympathetic breathing, doing sympathetic breathing, doing practices which you know, can shift your energy, can really transform the way we feel, think, and act. And that's available to all of us. We need to, you know, develop the skills to tune in. And that's the thing. We're like a big tuning fork. If we actually learn to tune that up, then we stay fucking feeling amazing. And for me, yeah, I've done a lot of training, like, you know, yoga teacher training and so forth too, and invested pretty heavily in myself. Yeah, mate, and I've had some incredible experiences over the journey, but I kept them in the back pocket because I thought people would think they'd be pretty weird. But
I would not. I don't even try and tell the story, mate. It just doesn't do it justifiable, mate. I would have said, mate, that'll be with me and all the boys in the room for the rest of my life, and it changed me. It made me 100%. It was an instant relief, mate. I just walked out of there. I remember getting home. I've never, ever looked at my missus and my kids the way I did after that. Yeah. I was just like, yeah, man, it was wild.
Yep. Takes your vibration to a whole new level, and you actually come at it from a frequency of love and appreciation for yourself, you know.
100%, mate, yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. So we've got all these tools, you know, within us. We just got to learn how to access them. And, mate, we're in a really important moment in time now, because people are starting to be curious and they're starting to move ahead and, you know, starting to want to feel good. And I think that's our birthright at the end of the day, you know. And I just think what you're doing with your workforce and the things that you're doing to look after yourself, look after your family, to create a business which is transformational for many. And I think it is a real example of what a business can actually be and the good things that come from that, you know. Because as I said, there's so many that aren't doing it well, that are fractured, that are just focused on the bottom line. I've always said, you know, I've sort of been lucky. I've worked with a lot of different businesses over the years by, you know, supplying them labour and other stuff. But I've seen the bad of it, and I've seen not too many good ones out there. But if you can invest in your people, love your people, support your people, treat them like family, they're going to be there for life. And, you know, that's incredibly valuable at the end of the day, because you know, people don't feel that anymore. They don't have that sense of security, and they don't have that sense of, you know, being valued, I guess. You know, if you can really value your people and appreciate your people, like, God, it just takes things to a whole new level. Then the bottom line starts to take care of itself.
Yeah, which is bullshit, because you spend 30% of your life, you know, with that crew or with that working, you know. Why not be happy? Why shouldn't you be happy, you know, mate?
Spot on, mate. Spot on. That's it. But see, as a good corporate citizen, you do that because it's natural to you, but that just goes home with people, you know, and that creates better families and better communities. And a lot of people are miserable because they're just not getting that, you know. A lot of guys are being emasculated, if that makes sense, you know. So so in modern society, women have become more emasculated because they're actually out there doing blokes' jobs. But the blokes are being emasculated, and you know, they're not feeling, you know, powerful and supported and in their masculine energy, if that makes sense. And you are, and you're empowering your blokes to feel like that way as well, and that's really all we want. And, you know, we've got to start to get back to that. So, you know, I really, really, really appreciate what you're doing, because I just think it's a great example of what's possible. And, you know, mate, some wonderful things are coming. You know, look at how much has changed for you over the last few years, and how much things have transformed, and the great things you're doing now to look after yourself. But, mate, you know, you're on this terrific journey, which I think is going to, you know, only get better and better moving forward.
Yeah, mate, yeah, it's only the beginning, mate, as far as I'm concerned, mate. So I love it how everything just flows. Like, I'm, you know, I'll do my stuff, I'll set these goals, we'll get it done, and then just all the reactions and, you know, everything that you get from that, it just naturally comes, mate, you know what I mean?
Yeah, my word, you put yourself in a position to create positive things, and good things will come your way. There's no doubt about it, mate. So how can people look at the work you're doing? I reckon your website's one of the best I've ever seen, but how can people find, how can people find
The work? Oh, we're big on the socials, mate. So anyone wants to check out YTB Plumbing, yeah, big on the Instagram, Facebook, and also LinkedIn.
Yeah.
On the Keels Cup, so I didn't really get the dive on that. So after we lost Keelsy in that, I sort of made a pretty bold statement. Was that I'm gonna do a big fundraiser to try and raise as much money as I can to assist his ex partner and his son. And that's what we did, and that's how me and Aaron got involved. Aaron actually come down and done a big speech for it, which was awesome. It was a big trade. It was like a battle of the trades thing. We had it at the Raw Challenge. We had about 23 teams, competed in a series of games for about 4 hours. Ended up being a huge day. And, ended up raising about 30-odd grand, which was awesome. But this year, so anyone who's listening, October 26th, we're coming back bigger and better. We're going to go again. So obviously the number one objective is to raise awareness around men's mental health. And we're doing it all again. Aaron, I'll have to speak to you offline about all this. Hopefully you can come down and do your thing and say a few words and get around to it again.
Yep, I'll be there for sure. I'll be there for sure. But I was there last year. It was wonderful. You know, what you created, the energy you put into it was incredible. I was a bit worried about you because you look pretty tired.
It was a big. I pretty much threw it all together in the last week. Like it was that rushed in the end because the whole journey, mate. I was getting nowhere trying to book it. Like absolutely nowhere. And I made this bold statement saying I was going to do it. And everyone's like, "Well, where's it at?" I'm like, "I couldn't get insurance. I couldn't get a location. I just couldn't get anywhere." Everyone I spoke to, I went and seen Glenn Dozer, like local councillor, and he's like, "Everyone's just saying it's amazing what you're doing, but I can't help you. I can't help you. I got an event planner at one stage. He was useless. Like I just everything. And then finally got onto the Raw Challenge, and then. Yeah, it was 3 or 4 days out. I hadn't even had the games organised, and me and a couple of boys went down the 2 days before and were organising it. So it was a pretty stressful week, but we pulled it off, and I've got learned heaps, so really looking forward to this one, mate. Learned from that, I'm going to really want to blow this one up, mate. So
yep, and it's going to be an annual thing, and
that 100%.
That's something you're doing to value your mate, but there's so much greater impact that's going to come from that. So you know, you've got to be. Really, really, I wouldn't say proud of yourself, but certainly, you know, really, really, I suppose, positive and confident that you're going to be able to create something from a really negative situation, which can, you know, potentially help a lot of people and transform a lot of people and get some conversations started, which, you know, could save a life or, you know, transform some lives as well.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, mate, definitely.
I think so. Is there a website for Kills Cup yet?
There's not. Just if you just follow us, if you just keep following YTB Plumbing, like I said, we're big on the social, so either on probably Instagram's probably our biggest one, or LinkedIn, we're going to keep them going. We'll probably get a landing page up soon. We'll be sending out a few posts about save the date and everything, so anyone is interested, just get in contact with us through the social media and stay tuned, because she's going to be we're aiming to double everything this year. We want to double the teams and double the profit, so that's the goals, and we'll see how we go.
Yeah, amazing, mate. No, I'm looking forward to that, and we'll keep talking, and I want to try and see if I can get some other businesses that I know down there involved. It doesn't have to be trades. I think it can be anyone this year that can.
Yeah, I'm going to blow it up this year. Yeah, definitely, mate. Yeah,
sounds good. And I'll get the boys at Wild Earth involved and a few of them that I know, and I'll see if we can get something cracking.
Sounds good, my man.
Appreciate it, mate. Thanks so much for the chat. And, thanks, everyone, for listening in. If you want to send us some feedback, email me at support@outbackmind.org.au.